Steve Murray, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to have you back on the channel. So to start things off, you're there in Arizona. Trump's got a rally tomorrow there in Arizona. A lot of people still curious about what's going on with exposing election fraud in that state. So what are you seeing on the ground there?
Well, there's really not much going on in the AG's office. That ship sailed in September. He's more focused on
His
rolling up.
nunchucks.
Yeah, he's more, Bronovich is more interested in rolling up pedophiles and folks that are in the education system doing corruption versus doing anything with that. What we are seeing, though, is we're seeing a number of Republicans in the party that are pushing to go back to paper ballots. And they just did a legislative district meeting here where they pick new delegates. They call them delegates at large. Essentially, those are party leaders across the state, and they voted within the party to go back to paper ballots too. So we're seeing a groundswell moving in that direction, which I think is a good thing. What I'm not seeing, though, and there also is a large number of proposed legislative bills to go in for election reform, one of which is to go back to paper ballots. I think Kelly Townsend is hosting that one. What I'm not seeing, though, is I'm not seeing any legislation to ban Dominion systems from Arizona. So that's a point of contention with a lot of folks that are running for office. But we're seeing mainly most of the movement is back to paper ballots. That's a big part of what we're seeing right now. The truth is, let's see what the proof is when they get back in session. Let's see what they actually do. It's one thing for them to talk about it, but the variable out is, even if they pass the legislation, do they have enough of a majority to override a veto? Because Ducey is expected to veto any election reform. So we'll see where that goes. But I could tell you that if Bronovich doesn't arrest somebody for election fraud, his career is over. If Ducey vetoes anything, his career is over. And he wants to run for Senate. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting few months ahead.
Yeah, it seems like there still is a push in some of these states. Arizona's kind of in a lull right now, but we do have a push in Pennsylvania, I saw, and I think in Wisconsin. They're still trying to investigate the 2020 election, which rightly so they should. But then it seems like at the same time, some folks are kind of focusing on 2022 and 2024 just to secure the elections as much as possible before then. So it's kind of like a weird situation we're kind of in. How much do we want to focus on 2020? How much do we want to focus on securing things and looking forward? I don't know. What are your thoughts on maybe what's going
Well,
on in some of these other states?
I'm going to talk a couple more minutes about Arizona, and then I'll get to Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. There's a couple of different things going on here, right? So the paper ballot inspection by Pulitzer, that report's done, but they haven't released it yet, and I don't know why. My initial thought is, remember, all of these key states are run by crime families, right? The McCain Mafia is here. They rule the roost here. And most of the establishment is set up to get you to look at 2022 and 2024. Because of the public groundswell and the noise level created by just average Americans here, they're still looking at 2020 reluctantly. And they know, and that they're getting the memo that if you don't fix 2020, you're never going to be around for 2022 or 2024 because you're not going to have the support. So that I think that's trickling over across all the different states. Now, Wisconsin, I think, is moving ahead despite all of the legal objections. The ruling that I read about in Gateway Pundit today gives me some hope that that's actually going to move forward. Pennsylvania, they're pretty much in a holding pattern. Most of their congressional hearings have been show trials. They haven't really done anything. So I don't have a lot of hope there. The Georgia fraud trial is going to be interesting, but I don't expect that to be resolved anytime within the next 6 months. Again, the wheels of justice move extremely slow. So we might see some people rolled up, but the bigger question is, when are the Republicans going to get off their ass and actually look at 2020? Most of them are ruled by crime families. If you look at it, if you look at, California, Pelosi owns that, as well as the Feinsteins own California. So nothing's going to happen there. The only way we're going to get around it is there has to be sustained and consistent noise with all the lower level politicians that aren't corrupted by them. And that's the only way it's going to move forward. I don't anticipate anything happening in Pennsylvania for at least 3 months. I think we'll see Wisconsin first, but I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm hopeful that they will literally decertify the election based on the results that they see from the investigation. But again, I don't know how much of that is show and how much of that's real investigation. What they've put in front of the press and what the Gateway pundits have been reporting on is 10,000 foot. The specifics of what's going on underneath, your guess is as good as mine. Here in Arizona, the AG is really good at putting out press releases, but he isn't doing anything. So I think it's going to be a few months yet before we see anything.
Yeah, we're hopeful that something does change, but we don't want to get hopped up on expectations and then let ourselves down based on those expectations we clung to. It does seem like enough people are pissed off and making noise, though, that some of these politicians from both sides, Democrats and Republicans, they're seeing that the ship is sinking, so they're jumping off the ship. I think we're up to 26, I think the number is, maybe 27 House Democrats that decided to not seek re-election. And then some Republicans are deciding not to seek re-election, too. We're up to, I think, 3 of those rhinos in Congress that voted to impeach Trump last year, or 2020. They're not seeking re-election, too. So I don't know. It seems like even though, I guess, fixing 2020 has taken a lot longer than a lot of us wanted, and who knows if we'll ever get decertification by the time next elections come, it does seem like 2020 was really a changing sort of apex, if you will, or just a big change that caused a lot of people to just get pissed off and start making noise.
I think we're going to resolve this year. I firmly believe that, because when you look at the public sentiment around the elections, right? So you've got a part of the population that could care less. They're I'm going to go back to my job. I don't really care who's president. I don't care what's going on in politics. You've got another third of the population that hated Trump so much that they don't care if a kumquat is in office. They just don't want Trump there. So they're okay with anything. But then you've got about 40 to 45% of the population. And, you know, some of them voted for Trump, some of them didn't vote for Trump, but they didn't like the optics of what they saw. And then when they started digging under the covers, they realized how corrupt it really is. And then you add to it the Build Back Better bill and this new election stealing bill that they're trying to push through right now. And people have woken up to the fact that, hey, this is really a takeover of our country. This is not about elections, right? So you've got a population now, and it's usually, my observation is it's between the ages of 37 and 55 or 60 that are really vocal now saying, we want this fixed. This is not right. And I think most Americans in general don't really care the election outcomes as long as they perceive it to be fair. And this was so far outside the normal of what is acceptable that you've woken up people in the middle of the road that probably wouldn't have paid attention before. And they're starting to make noise. So most of these career politicians like Mitch McConnell, he's made his money, doesn't care, right? He sold his soul to China years ago. But it's the new politicians like Kyrsten Sinema. There's been so much noise directed at Kyrsten Sinema. Mark Kelly's too stupid to really realize that those angry constituents with weapons at some point are going to come after him. He's not smart enough to realize that. Kyrsten Sinema is. And as left-leaning as she is, she's actually made some good decisions over the last few months and realized this is too far to the left. The American public does not want this. And the other side of the fence is the farther left they go, the more people wake up to this isn't right. So where I'm going with all this is I think this is going to be solved this year. Whether it goes kinetic or not, I don't know. But I will tell you that there's enough groundswell now growing at every bad, shitty decision that Poopy Pants makes, that's going to drive a wedge between the elite and the average Americans. And even the Hispanic community is tired of the nonsense at the border. They want to see real reforms, right? And the same people that have been complaining about the border for 4 years are the same people in charge, and they're not doing anything about it. And people are waking up to that. So I think by the end of this year, we're going to see something change, and it may not be for the better, but we're going to see more Americans putting more pressure on politicians to do the right thing. And I think that's why you're seeing so many people resigning, is you're seeing that they've realized, these politicians have realized, that at some point the barbarians are going to be at the gates, and they don't want to be in the hot seat when that happens.
Yeah, maybe that's why the concrete wall is getting erected around the White House. It's not to keep them in, it's to keep people who might start rioting out.
Well, that's the theory, right? You have a group of career politicians and bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. that are openly calling Americans that are patriotic, you know, terrorists. American Taliban,
yeah.
And terrorists, which is, you know, they're all communists, every single one of them. And
right.
You need to stop pussyfooting around and call them what they are. They're communists and they're traitors, and they need to be brought to justice. And I think Americans are waking up to that.
Yeah, I mean, some of these politicians, they could probably care less if they run for an election, the election gets rigged and they won. They're like, shoot, I don't want to deal with the blowback of the American public and all the harassment that they get on social media and in alternative or more truth-based media. And they just don't want to deal with it. So that's probably why they're quitting. So who cares if the elections are rigged? We're making enough noise to where they don't want to be in that place anyway. So a lot of people are waking up to the election fraud, to all of that. How about the COVID nonsense? What do you think about the Supreme Court decision yesterday and what's coming out about Fauci now and some of the latest in the scamdemic?
I think, to be succinct, I think it was the compromise by the compromised for the left and right. They had to screw somebody over, so they screwed over federal healthcare workers. The part that I'm still doing analysis on and trying to figure out if it was intentional or not is the ruling against the federal healthcare workers. It basically is a ruling against all healthcare workers. So is the ultimate intent to destroy the healthcare system so that when there is a real event, like there's a weaponized version of MERS, there's a weaponized version of smallpox that's been out and about and has been known about for a very long time, is the intent to release that in a year or two? Because everything we're seeing right now is posturing for a year or two. I don't see anything happening right now, right? All this, the noise about the camps in Washington and New York, even though they're passing that legislation now, it's still going to take them time to start, you know, rolling people up and throwing them in the camps. I don't think that's this year. I think that's,
yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Cause I mean, if they were going to start rolling people up into camps, I'd probably be the first one in this state, and I'm not in a camp yet. So
who's going to do it?
Yeah.
That's the question. Who's going to do it? Cause most of the guard are conservative. Most of the police are conservative.
And surprisingly, in Washington here, it's a liberal state. It's left leaning, but it's an open carry state, and quite a few people have self-defense tools at their disposal. So yeah,
well, there's a lot of weapons there. Yeah. And guess what? When COVID started, liberals were buying guns too.
Uh-huh.
And gun sales have peaked for the last 2 years. So good luck with that. But I don't see those moves right now as moves for the immediate future. I see them posturing for next year or the year after, because look, this COVID thing is never going away. They're going to come out with some new variant every single year to keep this going. And if I go by what I've heard from a few other people, they're going to go through the alphabet and get to, they're going to get to either the Omega strain or another strain. But
they're going to start using some other alphabet, you know, go from Greek to Latin to.
Right. But as far as the Supreme Court goes, I think it's a win and a loss, right?
Yeah.
They had to compromise for the left because all of them are compromised. They knew that they wouldn't survive if they ruled against the public, because they finally figured out that the American public has realized that the Supreme Court is completely compromised and all of them are traitors. And I think enough people called the clerk's office and let them know that if you vote this way, your days are numbered. And I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just assuming, because of the way they ruled, that they had to compromise and they knew they had to do something to please the left and something to please the right. And I think that's where we ended up. But I don't consider it a win. I consider it, you know, it's a milestone. They're gonna come up with something else to try and force vaccinations. They're not gonna stop this anytime soon. So the next question is, what agency are they gonna try and pass it off to? Or in my view, they're going to pass it down to the states because the states have been more successful at getting the legislatures to pass mandatory vaccinations, like in Washington State. I guarantee you that all the liberal idiots up there will vote for some kind of a mandatory vaccination clause across the state. I guarantee it, probably next month.
You know, here's a question for you. We've been dealing with this scamdemic for 2 years. A lot of people are sick of it. No doubt the cabal is probably trying to bring some new plan afterwards. In my opinion, it might not be a new variant or more of this disease stuff. I'm thinking the next false flag might entail some sort of cyber attack, and they might pin it on some anonymous hackers or blame Russia or something like that. But I could see the deep state taking down some portion of maybe the financial system or the electric grid or something like that with a cyber attack. Just a couple of months ago, we had, I think it was 10 nations who all banded together and did some sort of war game. And it, you know, it was very reminiscent of Event 201 when those countries held the Event 201 to simulate a pandemic like 2 or 3 months right before the actual pandemic hit. So is that some sort of like predictive programming? I don't know. I see maybe the cyber domain becoming more prominent over the next couple of years. What do you think? Is that something, do you think this deep state might pull? Because this is more, I think, in your area of expertise here.
I think there's three scenarios. I think the first one is cyber. I think that's very plausible and probably within the next 6 months. I think the other one's another variant that's not COVID, it's something else. I think that's the last resort, though. I think that's when the barbarians at the gate, they release that. And then the third scenario is some kind of a war scenario in the Ukraine, which justifies using either cyber or EMP on a very localized area of the U.S. Probably
aliens, no aliens?
No.
War with aliens? Come on, man.
All that BS.
Project Bluebeam.
Okay, so all that BS about poopy pants and camel toe going to 5-1 for a briefing. First of all, nobody's going to brief a CNOW guy, let alone anybody.
Who is coming out with that? Some people were literally saying that Joe Biden and Kamala went to Area 51 for...
I think that's absolute nonsense.
It sounded so clickbait. It sounded so bad.
Such nonsense. And it came from, you know, somebody said that Monkey Works was following it. And okay, great. You got a flight tracker. But that doesn't mean you know shit. It just means you got a flight tracker. And, you know, anybody with flight tracker can look at flights going into a certain area and say, yeah, they're going in here. So, you know, I've watched Monkey Works stuff and he's probably not a bad guy, but it doesn't mean he's an expert. It just means that's his opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I take most of the clickbait that I see with a grain of salt, because most of it is BS anyway.
You got to take it with a whole bag, man.
But I'm looking at what's going on the ground. We are doing troop movements, but we're not mobilizing the Guard and Reserve. That's a big exercise. And just to give you an idea of what it takes to mobilize a Guard unit, those set of orders, they have to go through Guard Bureau. First, they go through the state, which takes time. Then it goes through Guard Bureau. Then it goes to the unit. Then they have to activate. All those Joes have to find their gear that's at the bottom of their foot locker in their garage, probably haven't touched it in a year, and they got to find all their crap. Then they got to report. Then they got to get mobilized. Then they got to get moved to wherever they're going to go. That doesn't happen overnight. That takes a week or two to do. Active duty, though, we're not seeing active duty being moved or being used in any capacity to support any of these states. And most of the Guard mobilizations are medical related, and they're being, you know, moved to relieve all of the blue states who fired all of their medical workers and doctors because they wouldn't get the vaccinations. But what we are seeing is we're seeing mobilizations in Ukraine. I think the realistic scenario in Ukraine is there's military action, then there's some kind of EMP or cyber event here, and they use Ukraine as a justification for that activity to instill some kind of martial law or some other kind of draconian controls. That those are the scenarios I see. I don't see, you know, people being rushed off to camps for not complying with COVID. The FEMA
clickbait has been permeating through social media for a decade now. I remember back in 2013, 14, where people were all scared we're going to get rounded up in FEMA camps and stuff. It's just endless.
Back to 92, that's when it started. And yeah, then the other side of that is who's going to do the roll-ups, right? You've got a lot of patriotic Americans that are not going to go along with that. I don't give a shit how many different ways you say it. You can throw butane in your hair and light your hair on fire. It's still not going to make it true. And I can tell you what I would do if, you know, if anybody in the government said to me, we're going to bring you back to active duty and we want you to go roll up Americans, I'm going to be like, hey, go fuck yourselves. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't do that here. That's not our doctrine. It's not our culture. Now, is that to say sometime in the next 10 years, that's not going to happen? Potentially. But I don't think that's their intent. I think the whole intent behind all of these damn FEMA camps and all this posturing is they need to draw out to see if there's militias and there's any kind of an organized military that's not U.S. military that's going to fight against them. And, you know,
seems like a lot of these militias are already led by freaking feds and informants anyway.
Right. So I think most Americans are waiting to see where this is going to go with the election stuff. And I also think they're waiting to see where most of the legislation is going to go over the next 12 months. The thing that people discount that you have to remember is anytime you deal with the government, there's this layer of incompetence that goes across everything. And there's no such thing as a perfectly laid plan or perfectly executed plan in the government. It's hard enough to keep a secret at the top secret level, let alone get people to coordinate and organize and mobilize to do one activity. If you look at any of the storm responses or hurricane responses by any of the federal agencies, you'll see what a complete mess it is just to get the federal agencies to do anything in a coordinated fashion. So I don't see, even at the state level, that level of coordination being so effective that they'll be able to pull off any of the things that I'm hearing about. It's not real.
Yeah.
The realistic thing is, I think they need the national level distraction to divert the public away from the incompetence in the White House right now and the treason in the White House and in the House and Senate. And people need to stop worrying about what Poopy Pants is doing. He's senile. He's not doing anything. He's in his basement eating ice cream. Yeah. It's the Congress and the House, the Senate and the House, that you need to pay attention to. That's where the appropriations are done. That's where the bills are passed. That's where the laws are passed. Those are the people that are screwing this country. You can worry about Biden all you want. He's not in charge of anything. And neither is Harris. If she was in charge of something, she'd be staying in the observatory. She's not even living there. What does that tell you? It tells you that her own establishment hates her more than the rest of the American public do. So you got to add some reality to the bigger picture. And I don't think people are doing that. They're so wrapped up in the fear porn. And that brings me back to Alex Jones. He's pushing out information. And part of my problem with Jones and Mike Adams and even Stu Peters, they push out this fear porn. But what are you going to do with it? Okay, they're coming to get your family. Okay, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to go buy more guns and ammo? No. Am I going to go buy more food? No. What am I going to do with it? That's part of the problem with most of the things that are being pushed out in social media right now. There's great.
I'll talk little solutions.
Yeah. And right now what we need is a solid plan for this is what we're going to do to restore our republic. And that's great if you want to sell supplements and all that other, you know, happy horse shit. But we have bigger things in front of us right now. And people are looking for two things. They're looking for leadership and they're looking for a plan, a real plan, not trust the plan. They're looking for a real plan. What are we going to do to restore the republic?
And yeah, it seems like a lot of these personalities that with their sensationalized reporting and everything, a lot of what they claim, not all of it, you know, sometimes, of course, they'll put out some good takes and decent information, but seems like some of it is really sort of baseless, doesn't have the evidence behind it, doesn't have the sauce or the proof behind it, but they're making these claims, almost claiming it as fact, like, oh, the vaccines are filled with metal, 99% of the vial, or oh, all these pilots are dying in air, or oh, you know, just all sorts of stuff. And I don't find it helpful. I mean, why don't we focus on what we can prove, like the spike proteins in the shots are bad? You know, let's talk about that. Let's not go off into conspiracy theory speculation land over here. off into left field with a bunch of claims that you can't even really source.
Right. And it brings me back to Fauci, right? You asked me about Fauci earlier. The reason why the truth on Fauci is coming out is that you have a number of people in the medical community that have figured out that these vaccines are detrimental to your immune system. And that now they have proof of that. Then you have folks in the intelligence community that were burned by not only the administration, but the Obama team. And now they're starting to release information. And then you got guys like, you know, the folks at Veritas that are actually doing real reporting, just like Revolver.News. And they're doing real reporting. They're uncovering these things and they're using whistleblowers that are giving them real information and they're vetting that information. And once it comes out, guess what? Those people in Congress that didn't know, now they know and they have to do something about it. And that's what's going on here in Arizona. The intergovernmental agreements that were signed by the counties here were done in conjunction with executive orders. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Maricopa County and Cochise County and Pima County have all signed this intergovernmental agreement with the CDC to basically hand over control of the county to the CDC in time of a natural disaster or some kind of a pandemic. And those agreements go through 2024 and 2023. And it's all about usurping the Constitution of Arizona, as well as the bringing in funneling dollars into the state. And then you have Ducey signing executive orders that coincide with that for COVID monitoring and everything else. And I would guess that every single state has done this and people don't even realize. And where I'm going with that is we've approached several senators here. I personally approached four or five senators here and said, did you know about this? And their answer was, no, we don't know about it. Well, now you do. Go do something about it. You need to, number one, you need to do away with every single executive order that Ducey has signed in the last 12 months. And then you need to go to the county level and sign legislation that does not allow them to go outside of the Constitution for anything. And that's what's happening at the national level. People are putting things in front of their politicians saying, now you know about it, go do something about it. If you don't, your career is over. That's what's happening to Fauci. He did things behind closed doors and some people knew about it, some people didn't. And now that these politicians are becoming aware of it, their constituency is saying, you need to do something about this or your career's over.
You think we'll ever see Fauci get perp walked? Think he'll ever be arrested?
No. Merrick Garland's a cuck. He's not going to do anything. He's a traitor. He's a communist. Yeah. So is Chris Wray. The FBI is compromised. DOJ is compromised. The only way that we're going to see anything there is if there is some kind of a military intervention that restores order and law and order. Until then, I don't see it happen unless somebody assassinates him, which I don't think is a good idea anyway, because the justice that the American people want to see, they want to see these people stripped of their power, stripped of their wealth, and put in prison. I want to see these people go to the grocery store after all their crimes have been exposed to the American public.
Yeah, and everybody's got a camera on them, just heckling them. Yeah, we want justice, but we want it to be the right way, not a way that's just going to create chaos in society and screw everything up. So
that's what I keep hearing that. And that's why I'm bringing it up continually here. We need to go shoot these people. No, we don't. The fate worse than death for somebody in a position of power like that is to strip them of their power and make them do things on their own.
And we want them to be humiliated too. We don't want these people to die. No, we want them to stay alive and get humiliated for years and years and years.
Absolutely. We do.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's why I bring that up. And I think the goods on Fauci are out now. The storyline has been debunked. Now, don't expect the mainstream media to pick it up because they're all compromised and owned by the pharmaceuticals anyway. So the thing you got to realize is the best thing we can do is spread the word. And you'd be surprised how many people don't even know what Telegram is. I've had 20 conversations just in the last week with people. I had one today. What's Telegram? I routinely have that conversation.
Let me show you.
The best thing we can do is educate people on what the alternative platforms are and let them make their own decisions.
What do you, I want to ask you about Truth Social in a moment, but before we get there, I want to make a note of an article that came out today in the mainstream media. Speaking of Ukraine, this is a headline from The Guardian. It says, U.S. claims Russia is planning a false flag operation to justify Ukraine invasion. So basically, we have U.S. authorities that are accusing Russia of wanting to plant a false flag against Ukraine. How can the kettle call the pot black any more than that? How much more projection can you get? U.S. claiming Russia is going to plant the false flag. Meanwhile, it's probably the U.S. that's going to do the false flag. Then they're going to frame it to look like Russia doing the false flag. It's like a false flag about a false flag. I don't know. So I wanted to bring that up.
It's very plausible. I mean, yeah. when you take away the two-sided propaganda war and information war that's going on, right? There's always going to be point counterpoint.
Yep.
But when you distill out all the noise and you look, the signal there is this administration is in dire straits from both a public opinion perspective as well as from a policy failure perspective. They have to do something. And they have to divert the attention away from the national conversation about their incompetence. So there is nothing that is not on the table. False flag, real flag. They can stage anything they want with control of the media. They can go out into a field and stage a full, you know, a full battle scene with green screen, and you would never know. Most people would never know and think that there's this ground war going on in the Ukraine when really it's probably a set in somewhere in California. You would never know.
I mean, that's true. With control of the media, they can put whatever ideas they want into people's heads. But as we know now, I mean, 90% less people are watching CNN now than just a year ago.
They still have reach. They still have reach.
They do. They definitely
do. Don't get into that paradigm where you think they don't have the reach to reach American people.
Really, it's the tech.
How many people are still bought into Trump lost fairly. There's still a big part of the population that thinks that Trump lost fairly.
And I mean, a big reason of that, I don't think it's the media as much as it's now the tech companies, because a lot more people consume their information on social media these days, which is why the censorship on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube et al. Is so important, and why their fake trending pages are so important.
The fake news stories that they bring up
on their trending pages and with the algorithms bring you the videos on YouTube that's just all the fakest shit when you search it. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Truth Social? Are you excited for that? Do you even think it's going to come out on time?
I think adoption is the issue with any of them.
And I want to ask you your opinion. Don't mean to cut you off, but on the other platforms as well, Telegram, Getter, Gab, but first Truth Social, go.
I think True Social is going to be great if they can position it and they can brand it and release it in a timely manner with intuitive functions. If it's not intuitive, like Getter is not usable to me. It's not intuitive. You know, Rumble's intuitive, Telegram's intuitive to a point. It's got its issues.
Yeah.
Gab is intuitive, but it's got its issues too. It has to be intuitive so you get the Facebook crowd. Because you have, again, this when you distill out the noise, there's a group of folks that are stuck on Facebook because they're technophobes. They are not technology immigrants, right? They came into the technology space, and I'm thinking of the 45 somethings to 70 somethings that don't know computers like most of us, and are not tech savvy. That's the crowd he wants to win over, right? Because that's the crowd that's stuck in the existing social media doctrine and domains and being subject to all the censorship and propaganda. Now, if you can make it intuitive enough and brand it right and position it right in the market space and get enough coverage, then you'll see an adoption. And I think people are waiting to adopt something different than Facebook because they know something's wrong there, but they don't know where to go. And Telegram's a perfect example of that. People don't know what Telegram is, even though it's a fantastic platform. And a lot of people that are technology savvy flock to that. We need the non-tech savvy folks that are consuming their information off of Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is a toxic fuckhole. It is never going to be anything other than a liberal echo chamber that's run by a Luciferian. So Twitter's a lost cause to me, but there's still a tremendous number of people that are using it. The way to get people off of that is to offer them a solution that's easy, intuitive, and is advertised heavily so they can see it. If they can do that with Truth Social, great.
Yeah, and he needs to appeal to the younger generation too, because, you know, a lot of these, you said 45 plus, older conservative leaning folks tend to be Trump supporters, but it's like my generation, the people in the 20s, maybe their early 30s, definitely hit with more brainwashing. Our schools really started to change when we went through them. And I mean, I know a lot of folks in my demographic who not really Trump fans, don't get it, lost in the, you know, they think they're woke. They think they're awake and aware because they listen to Joe Rogan's podcasts and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, they're still just lost in the narrative. So it's very tough. Not only does he need to appeal to the 45 plus, but also the 45 below. And we'll see what he can do with True Social.
He needs to stop making it about him. He needs to stop branding everything with his name on it. And he needs to stop branding everything as if it's
at least it's not called Trump Social.
Yeah, he needs to stop that nonsense because that is what's getting him in trouble in the first place. The whole point of opening the social media platform in the first place and starting the acquisition company is reach. He wants to expand his reach and be able to communicate with the American people without any interruptions and without any censorship. Okay, I got it. Do that. Don't make it about you. Nobody gives a shit that it's your name's on it. Okay. You're making enough money off of it. Put it out there so we have a place that's a real public square and leave it at that. And less is more. Right. So that's what I think he needs to do. And Getter, they need to, like Twitter evolved over time. I think Getter needs to do that quickly, and Getter will be the replacement for Twitter. But again, it has to be intuitive. You have to accommodate the least common denominator with social media and give them a platform that they can easily figure out, even if they don't know technology. And that's a big part of the population you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, we'll figure that out in T-minus 4 weeks now. So
I saw the rumor that we were going to push back to November. I don't see it happening.
That rumor stemmed from, it went around, I think actually it was a lot of pro-Gab people and a lot of Gabbers were spreading that rumor. I think it was kind of like a industry, like professional jealousy or some kind of bashing. I saw absolutely no substance to the claim that they were going to delay Truth Social. So no,
yeah, I didn't see it either. I just think that timing's important now, right? There has to be a platform that's widely recognized by the entire public that is a true town square. Now, the other thing that they have to roll out at the same time is they got to roll out technology that eliminates the ability for bots to consume most and publish, you know, information. If they don't consider that, I mean, security should be the first part of their discussion around how do we do this securely so that we don't subject our audience to the bots. I mean, Telegram is literally in my channel.
Telegram and Twitter and Facebook, just bots and AI, and it's manipulating so many people's minds.
I've got four or five admins in my channel, and they are tracking it all the time. It's a constant battle. Mm-hmm. And it's the bots that come in and say, Trump's coming back. We love what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. It's all nonsense, right? But it's designed to distract away from the conversation. Yeah. Trump needs to address that out of the gate. Otherwise, if they lose credibility out of the gate, they'll never recover it.
Yep. Yep. So, hey man, anything else you want to cover before we sign off?
No, man. I think we've got, we've covered pretty good amount of information. The only thing that I want to put out is I'm going to be doing a live chat with Sean Morton on my channel next week. If you can crash that and bomb it, that'd be great, man.
Yeah. What day and time? I'm going to put this interview that we're doing now tomorrow morning, Saturday. So what day and time next week?
Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time is when we're going to do the live chat with Sean.
Cool. And your Telegram channel is LTC Steve Murray, right? That's the name of it. I'm going to link that down below for anybody watching if you want to go follow Steve on Telegram.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Sean's new book, The Time Runner. We're also going to talk about, and he's going to be taking questions about his conversations and memoirs from the guy who started Area 51, or 5-1 as he calls it.
Yeah, man. So, I would like to talk to Sean Morton. So I'll probably crash that Telegram chat with you guys.
I'd love to have you, bro. Love to have you. Cause I, I love the fact that you ask direct questions and nobody else is doing that. So
yeah, I don't have any tolerance for clickbait, and I don't like to beat around the bush. So
yeah. So that's, yeah, I think that would be a good conversation, just if not entertaining. So
yeah. And hey man, if you're down to do a show like this once a week, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, doesn't need to be long, but I'd love to have you on this channel once a week.
I would absolutely love to do that for you,
bro. Cool, man. Thank you.
All right, man. You have a good weekend.
Yeah. Take care.
Take care, man.